Good day, and welcome to the Shantagold conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If you would like to queue for a question at any time throughout the call, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star one to ask a question. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Eric Zurin, CEO.
Thanks, Keith, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for dialing in to today's Shantagold full-year audited results call for the year 2020. Just to remind you, Shanta is the third-largest gold company in Tanzania after Barrick and AngloGold Ashanti. Joining me today on the call is Luke Leslie, CFO of Shanta. On today's call, we will aim to cover the key accomplishments from 2020, including highlights from our audited results and annual report that we published on our website this morning. Let us begin on slide three with a recap of our strong social license to operate, specifically in Tanzania. Last year will be forever remembered as one of the greatest tests for government, markets, businesses, and communities due to the pandemic. Operating in an industry where health, safety, and community engagement have always been paramount, that has meant our teams and people have been well prepared for the challenges presented by COVID. Shanta is disproportionately resilient versus our peers by way of our strong local content approach, and that's paid big dividends in the last 12 months. Our workforce is indigenized to the tune of 99.5% Tanzanian. We procure over 80% of our ongoing supplies from within country. Proof of all this was last month when we were awarded first place in the Local Content Award in Tanzania. Our local and national stakeholders continue to benefit, as you can see on this page. I'm pleased to report this morning that we've also now announced the maiden dividend to be paid semi-annually, which means for the first time, our shareholders will now also start to benefit alongside our in-country stakeholders. I hope this becomes part of a longer trend of rebalancing the returns to shareholders who have been very patient with Shanta and Tanzania over the years. In conclusion on this slide, we will also be undertaking a review of our ESG reporting and disclosure this year to investigate what we can reasonably do more for the company, given our size, and improve the way we report on what we are already doing so effectively in country to protect our license to operate. Moving on to slide four of the presentation, which is on our website. In 2020, we've already announced this, but just to reiterate, we produced 82,978 ounces within the guidance of 80,000-85,000 ounces that we set before the onset of the pandemic. Our safety record is now the best it's been in 6 years, and we extended the period of zero LTIs to over 36 months or over 6 million hours worked. We acquired the high-grade West Kenya project, and we commenced construction at Singida. By doing so, we've secured what is a really exciting growth pipeline. On the next slide, we'll detail some of these accomplishments in more detail. On slide four. Sorry, on slide five, and beginning with the value that's been created at our operating mine, New Luweka. In 2020, some of the key value achievements that we were able to realize were, in fact, replacing all the ounces that we mined and then adding another 37,000 ounces into our mine plan. Mine life extension is the single biggest value contributor at the New Luweka Gold Mine. All of our capital is already invested, and every new ounce added to the mine plan contributes disproportionately to Shanta's value. Let's put that in context. Last year, it cost us $19 per ounce to add 137,000 ounces of new reserves. That's against the margin of about $700 per ounce when these ounces are actually mined and sold. The comparison is obvious. Now, in 2019, we invested $2.6 million in exploration. Last year, we invested $4.8 million in exploration. And in 2021, we've increased this to $8 million in exploration in Tanzania. So we hope and we believe that we'll be able to at least replace the ounces we mine this year and do better than that, as we have shown we could do last year. Moving down the page, in 2020 we acquired the West Kenya project at a price of $14.5 million. Following completion, we announced an independent scoping study outlining the mine plan, the economics, and which resulted in a proposed project NPV of $340 million at $1,700 per ounce gold. Again, you can see here the stark comparison of what we paid and what the size of the prize is at the West Kenya project. At the end of 2020, we commenced infill drilling at West Kenya, and we'll report on first drill results this month. Finally, at Singida, at the bottom part of the page, during 2020, we started to demonstrate value in this project, which we believe has inherent attractive economics. The Jorok open pit reserves were declared, the mine plan was published with economics, and construction commenced in the fourth quarter. Singida's construction is fully funded from operating cash flows, and it will add about 32,000 ounces per year starting in late 2020, next year. Turning to slide six, we highlight some of the trading metrics that indicate how we're valued in the market. Our market cap valuation multiples on Shanta's current share price using our audited 2020 results are highlighted on this page. And let me give you three numbers. The first one is on a cash flow basis. So we are trading on 2.4 times trailing EBITDA. We're trading on 11 times trailing accounting earnings, and we now have an implied dividend yield of 1.5%. This is all the starting point for Shanta. This is kind of first step out of the blocks. Because as you all remember, last year we had a hedge book, which no longer exists, and that impacted our realized gold price, which was only $1,495 per ounce in 2020. Now take a step back, look at this page, and don't forget about the growth in our Singida and West Kenya projects, which are completely ignored in the cash flow numbers that we highlight on this page. So you're effectively getting Shanta's equity valuation is based on its current producing mine, and on a cash flow basis ignores the future value of Singida and West Kenya, which we believe and have already published could add over about $400 million of NPV at about the current gold price. Turning to slide seven, I'll hand over to Luke to take us through some of the financial metrics from the previous year.
Thanks, Eric. Shanta is in excellent financial health, finishing the year with net cash of $37 million and available liquidity of $53.5 million. Operating profit was 8.5 times higher than 2019 at $43.8 million, and we reported a record net profit of $17.2 million. Costs remained well under control, with AISC coming in at $841 an ounce, and our margins as a result remained strong. As Eric has said, we intend to pay a semi-annual dividend, commencing with a proposed final dividend of 0.1 pence per share. Going forward, the board will consider the company's financial condition and outlook in determining or recommending future payments. And this marks the transition for Shanta into a dividend-paying multi-asset gold producer. Turning to slide eight. Last October, we raised $40 million to fund exploration and technical studies at the West Kenya project. Around the same time, construction at the new Singida mine started. Singida and New Luika exploration will be funded out of the New Luika mine's cash flows. And we are very pleased with the progress the team is making across all three projects and expect lots of updates to come. In December 2020, we settled the company's remaining hedges. The average realized gold price achieved achieved in 2020 due to the hedge book was $14.95 an ounce. All of our production is now being sold at spot. Next month, we'll be repaying the outstanding $10 million of convertible notes, and that will reduce the company's gross debt to under $2 million. Turning to slide 9. Just briefly here, you can see the improvement in operating cash flow, jumping to $62.8 million, and this is simply driven by the increase in ounces sold and the higher gold price during the year. It's worth just re-emphasizing that these are cash flows from just one of our three assets in the portfolio, and a portion of the production here was delivered into a hedge book around a price of $12.50 an ounce. Just moving to slide 10, here we show a bridge from EBITDA to the net increase in cash. I'll just take you briefly through the four main movements from EBITDA of $63.9 million. $10.8 million, this is the working capital movement. It's made up really of two numbers. There's an increase in inventory up by $2.9 million, and this is due to building critical supplies during COVID. And then we also have an increase in receivables, and this is something that has been a recurring theme, driven by our VAT receivable, which continues to build. This is the hedging loss that we recognised during the year. So it's a loss on the hedge book movements, loss on the hedge book from the change in the gold price from prior years. $22 million, this is CapEx, but also the cash acquisition cost for West Kenya. So it includes an $8.5 million cash acquisition cost here. And the $14.6 million is the repayment of loans, 12 of which was the repayment of loans. Most of the rest is the silver stream. And on the loan side, Investec was the bulk of the loans. They were our senior lender who were fully repaid during the year. With that, I'll hand back to Eric to conclude.
Thanks, Luke. Just to wrap up here, on slide 11, what we've done is outlined some of the news expected over the next couple of months. Shanta's investment case has obviously transformed over the last few years into what is now a growth through exploration with three assets in two countries. And the news you'll get to see over the next couple of weeks and months relates to that growth portfolio. Shanta today is unrecognizable versus what it looked like 3 years ago. Now, starting with on the left-hand side of the page and then moving to the right, I expect initial drilling results from the West Kenya project this month. I also expect drilling results this month from the underground drilling at the Luweka deposit, where we've been zeroing in on resource to reserve conversion drilling. And then not to forget about the modest infill drilling that we flagged at the Singida project, specifically at the Corn Patch West deposit, where we're also targeting resource to reserve conversion this year. In April, Shanta is planned to repay the final $10 million owing to the convertible loan note holders, and we will also make a payment of the maiden dividend that we announced today, subject to shareholder approval at the AGM. And my final comment is really with around $18 million of exploration plan this year across all three assets. So that's $8 million in Tanzania and $10 million to fund the Kenya project. There is a lot to look forward to over the next few quarters as we will provide ongoing updates to the market with how we were getting on with the exploration. With that, I'll hand it back to the operator and open up the line to any questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star one to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll now take our first question. It comes from Ben Davis of Liberum. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Eric, Luke. Thanks for taking the call. Congratulations on a great set of results. Just a couple of quick ones. Firstly, on the dividend, I was just wondering, at the moment you've kicked things off with this 0.1 pence, are you considering committing to a formal process in formal policy in due course, or is this something you're more wait and see as kind of the growth potential kind of gets over the next couple of years? Just wondering how you feel about that. And then secondly, obviously there's been a lot more renewed interest in country in Tanzania with the recent deals with Barrick and with Kabanga. I was just wondering what we know about those deals, because at the time they said they were private. I don't know if that's changed at all and what that might suggest as a blueprint for Shanta. But yeah, any thoughts on those would be much appreciated.
Great. Thank you, Ben. Now, just to comment on the dividend, the way we approach this with the board is that dividends are paid in the context of the market, both in terms of how the prevailing gold price looks and the state of our operations, and obviously in conjunction with our own commitments to fund growth and complete the deleveraging process. We have a $10 million payment in April to the convertible loan note holders to commit to. And so really the policy that we've adopted is just that, in the context of the market and with respect to our operations. The way we think of dividends informally is that dividends are ultimately paid out of free cash and after funding our own growth in Tanzania. Remind you just that at West Kenya is funded from the proceeds of that equity raise that we did in October. For your own modeling, if you can model gold price growth needs reducing, balance sheet strength increasing, state of our own operations, you can take a view as to what you think the dividend might be. But at this point, we've committed to the initial 0.1 pence, which is a starting point, really. The starting gun has been shot, and this is where we're coming out at. Now, in terms of the Barrick and Kabanga news and country, I mean, let's go back 3 years when there weren't these framework agreements in country. This was Acacia under an MDA and in a pretty challenging environment. Now, since then, there's been a lot of good progress in Tanzania. There's been more transparency, more clarity with regards to the government and how economics are being shared. And what we know, and we only can see in the public eye, is that there are framework agreements being established. And there obviously has been one with Barrick, the Twiga agreement, and Kabanga, which I think is now called Tanzania Nickel, also has a framework agreement. And I guess the basis of these are that the economics are ultimately shared on a equal splitting, 50-50. So we think that's actually possibly has good implications for Shanta, where we believe the economics are less favorable to us at the moment. And that's something we're looking at engaging on as one alternative to remedying the outstanding VAT receivable and increasing the transparency in country.
Gotcha. That's very helpful. Actually, I just realised, just a follow up on exploration. Just to confirm, with those three sets from the assets expected, is the Singida resource conversion? I presume that's still all for open pit, of sort of above 120 meters of depth.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and just to reiterate, we would be announcing drilling results and not resource updates yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
For instance, at Singida, I think that we've had four holes drilled. I mean, it's very modest drilling at Singida. And we'll give you a flavor of kind of what we're seeing from that well, it's not really infill, it's resource conversion drilling. But it is open pit at Sengiva, that's what we're targeting.
Okay. And West Kenya's infill holes.
That's infill, yeah. There'll be some exploration, some true exploration drilling later this month. But it's really dipping our toe into higher risk, higher return areas within the portfolio. So that's at the Rosterman deposit, if you recall that. That's the old Colonial mine that had mined 259,000 ounces at 12.6 grams per ton, I think it was.
Very good. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Laddie Beck of Redmayne Bentley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, good morning, Eric and Luke. Congratulations on excellent results. I've just got a couple of questions. One is there any further possibility or refund of VAT possibility, or could it be offset against future profits? Any further news on that? And my second question is, there was some talk of the COVID-19, you know, affecting Tanzania rather badly, or they don't seem to have vaccination program yet. Presumably, Shanta is so far out in the forest or whatever you call it, outside towns, that it doesn't really be affected by this. I just wanted your confirmation of that.
Okay, yeah, Laddie, very nice to hear from you. I might ask Luke to just take the VAT question, and I'll cover COVID. Sure. Hi, Laddie.
Hi.
On the VAT, it's $28 million at year end, and you know the bulk of this $23 million, it's in dispute with the TRA, and we're going through a process there where we are appealing through the TRAB, so this is the appeals board, and they've got a track record of being independent, so. We think, and the advice we have a very strong case. But we also understand that there are other routes as well, such as a direct deal with the government. So, look, it's something we're very focused on. It's a big number, and it'll make a big difference to the share price if we can get that back. Thanks, Luke. And Laddie, let me just cover just a quick comment on COVID-19. You're right, Shanta operates in a very remote location, so we're about 800 kilometers west-southwest of Dar es Salaam. We operate in a forest reserve, and it's off the beaten track. So we have strict protocol on site, and earlier this year we went back to that very strict protocol that we had put in place about 11 months ago, last February, I should say. And I'll give you a few more characteristics. So you do have COVID in Tanzania. It's harder to track because testing is managed by the Ministry of Health, and there haven't been publications of results. But from our perspective, what's important is making sure that our camp is secure and safe. Our employees have changed their behavior to ensure that they are aware of the risks of COVID, and that the way we operate is different from just day to day. And so we've been able to achieve all of those things. We also benefit from a workforce that is relatively young. So 75% of our workforce is less than 44 years of age. We're remote. And where we do see suspected instances of flu, we're quick to diagnose flu and isolate or move people off-site. Operations continue uninterrupted. We benefit from 99.5% of our employees already in country, so we don't have a reliance on fly-in, fly-out. And as I said earlier in the call, we have a strong links to local supply chain, so we're not benefiting or not disadvantaged from anything having to be imported, over-reliant on that. So we hope for greener pastures with COVID to
dissipate around the world, and I'm sure that's hopefully around the corner in the next in the future. I'm not a doctor, so I can't predict when, but we can see it improve. Good. Operator, any other questions?
Yes, we do have another question. This comes from Matthias O'Toole House from Tamasis Partners.
Oh, hi. Yeah, Matthew here. Well done on the set of the results. I've got a quick question of like the mine plan going forward. You mentioned, so what's the share of the that new Luica? What's the share of the open pit and underground ore plan for this year? Because you mentioned you're going to go and mine the Elizabeth Hill deposit. And I was wondering how this will affect your overall sort of average head grades and your costs.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So the split from memory is, I believe it was 70% from underground and 30% from open pit. Now, the part of the reason for mining from Elizabeth Hill is we are doing a lift at the TSF2, and so the waste rock from Elizabeth Hill, which is just next to TSF2, will be used as part of the embankment walls. And so mining from Elizabeth Hill actually begins this month. Now, in terms of where we are with head grade for the year, now I'll take you back to what we did last year, second half of last year, which was install the third mill at the processing plant. And we talked about increasing throughput by, I think it was 12%. Now, that's gone very well. The throughput has been achieved, and we're looking at ways to further increase that throughput over the next 3 months. And so this would be kind of better than what we hoped for with that third mill. What that gives us the possibility of doing is lowering the blended grade, relying less on higher grade ore from underground, and being able to tap into the open pit sources from around the processing plant. And so when we talk about what are we targeting for the year in terms of grade, you know, we don't give guidance on that, but we've said publicly that we think it would be, you know, round about 3.5 grams. And with flexibility to change that if we have more throughput capacity to get back to our 80,000 ounce target. So, you know, just to summarize what we said in the RNS is that in terms of guidance, we would look to have more throughput in the second half of the year, which will give us more flexibility on grade. We believe about 55% of the produced ounces will come in H2. And that really is a function of higher throughput and keeping the grade constant.
Great. Thank you very much.
I'd now like to hand the call back to Eric for additional or closing remarks.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. This has certainly been, I think, an important day in Chance's history. We've been in Tanzania now 20 years, and for the first time, we can propose that shareholders receive cash back on their investment. I believe it started the start of something material, and hopefully trending in the right direction. But that will come over time. Thank you for your support, and we'll end the call now.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.